You there, adventurer? Yes, you. Do you desire knowledge of immense worlds and arcane power? A codex of untold stories and lore? Or perhaps simply easy listening for your daily commute? Then feast your eyes, or more accurately, ears, upon Dungeonpedia. Shit's about to get nerdy in here.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Dungeonpedia, an exploration into the lore of Dungeons & Dragons. We're your hosts, Lou and Markel.
Taylor Stanfield.
And I'm Travis Beasley.
And when this goes up, it will be the day after your birthday!
Yay! Happy birthday, Travis!
Let's all celebrate. I'm 28 now.
God.
There's nothing special about 28, actually.
You're almost as old as me.
Bitch.
Note that Lewin is younger than Travis.
By like 10 years.
Excuse you? Wow. Not 18. 19. No, I'm 23. But, which I feel, I think people know because we talked about my birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we covered that too, but no,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm 20.
Okay.
I'm 20.
The important part is that it's Travis's birthday.
Yay. And I had to work.
Yay.
And it's only because I had to take my paid birthday, like,
day
hours
to
use for the cruise that we got back from. Otherwise,
I would have gotten back from. Because, like, I'll be honest, we're not, there's no time when we get back from the cruise to record right before our episode goes up.
We're having to record this a little
in advance
because of vacations, which I'm good with because we need a fucking vacation.
Yeah, we do. Oh, my Lord.
And, you know, you're talking about, like, how you had to work on your birthday, which, like, is pretty balls, but you did also kind of
just get back
from take a cruise for your birthday, in a manner of speaking.
If it wasn't for the cruise, I would have just taken my actual birthday day off. That would have given me a four-day weekend.
4 week. Okay, but also a four-week vacation? Sign me the fuck up.
For real.
Jesus, that would be nice, too.
Yeah. But
oh, God.
It's okay that you're working on your birthday because later on we'll go out to dinner and you'll get your birthday present.
And you can just inappropriately shoehorn it into every conversation that you have at work like I did. Hey guys, hi, how are you doing today? It's my birthday today, by the way, if you want to give me your money.
Yeah.
If you want to give me your money, it's my birthday.
It's my birthday.
Give me your money.
Important note, we are all in tip positions. So.
Yeah, so.
So we're not just like going up to people and be like, hey.
Give me money. It's
give me money.
It's my birthday. I deserve it.
Give me money. I mean, if you want to give me money, that's great.
That's fine. PayPal. No. I don't use PayPal. I use Venmo.
I haven't used PayPal in years, actually.
Yeah, me neither.
I still fairly actively use my PayPal.
Well,
I just don't remember any of my login information for it now. I'll have to go through and reset it all.
Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah, I would have to go back and recover everything.
I think it's probably left over from when I used to take commissions as an artist and when I used to commission a lot of artists. And I actually recently commissioned a friend. So, like, I still pretty actively use my PayPal.
Yeah, I think my last one was that commission that I bought for Ginger a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
For Christmas. That was the last time I used my PayPal.
PayPal is good for artists. You know what else is good for artists?
Dungeons & Dragons?
Well, yes, but I was going to say specifically...
Wait, illustrations?
Yes, also that. Oh, my God. So... What I was going to say was deities who appreciate the arts.
Yeah, which is some of them. Not all of them are about death and murder and betrayal and backstabbing. Some of them appreciate art and stuff.
Particularly the elven ones.
Yeah, they're all
and
the art.
And today we're going to talk about Ailestrae.
Those artsy fartsy bitches. Yeah!
Yeah, Ailestrae. See,
I remember
close to
her.
Illustration.
It's very close to illustrations.
I know. Bad joke.
Very bad
I'm
joke.
Okay with it.
It wasn't even good at all.
How dare you?
So, Ailestrae, we've mentioned her...
Ages ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might recognize her as the Dark Maiden, the Lady of Dance, the Dark Dancer, Lady Silverhair, and briefly, The Masked Lady.
Ooh, that's a fun
I'm
one.
Sorry. I'm stuck on Lady Silverhair.
Yeah, I don't know.
What, like...
She has silver hair.
I mean, fine, but who the hell looked and went, we'll just name her the Lady Silverhair. That's not...
That's like someone seeing someone like across the way trying to get their attention saying, hey, Blondie.
Yeah, like...
It's just fantasy version.
Hey, Lady Silverhair. What the fuck?
The fuck you just call me? Yeah, I mentioned her for the first time and probably the only time we've really mentioned her in the Lolth episode, which was our third episode, my first episode that I did research for.
Dang, that was like
a long time ago.
20 episodes ago.
More, 20 years ago.
Damn.
You might remember her as being Lolth and Corellon's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was their daughter from when
she was still a Roshni.
Yeah, Roshni.
Yeah.
I don't think Corellon fucked around with that after.
No.
After the whole demon web.
Like, as thing. I mentioned, he still loved her, but like she was not herself anymore. She was corrupted by her own hatred, basically, and anger.
And, like, objectively cooler, so.
She was the younger twin of Veyron, which you'll recall was the god of arrogance and thievery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So she was originally described in The Drow of the Underdark, which was released in 1991, mostly because Ed Greenwood was asked to create more drow deities for Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Illustrate already existed in Greenwood's own original realm setting, like, that he used personally. This was just his way of making her official.
So they were like, hey, we need more drow deities. And he was like,
I got you. He pulls out his OCs.
I got you.
He's like, check this shit out. Just like slams his book on the table.
Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, you should go off and like create some. He's like, give me a sec. He just has them.
Just bam, done.
That said, so looking back through everything, I never actually found out how her name was pronounced. I kind of just went for it when I did the Lolth episode.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, her name is pronounced Illustrée.
Illustrée?
Yeah, okay. But I'm going to go with Illustrée because apparently it's an accepted pronunciation and I'm going with it.
Okay, well, as long as it's accepted, that's fine. That's kind of like the whole octopuses, octopi thing.
Yeah.
Like, both are correct. One is more technically correct, but...
It's just... It's colloquial.
I kind of like the sound of Illustrée better. Also, you could just argue the fact that depending on where you're at in your campaign settings, the accents are going to be different.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which is always my favorite argument.
Yes, always.
Especially whenever I fuck up words, I'm just like, nope, that's a thing now.
That's how they pronounce it in this area of the country.
Good luck.
But Illustrée had portfolios in song, dance, swordwork, hunting, moonlight, goodness, and beauty within the Drow Dark Seldarine Pantheon, and also the Elven Seldarine Pantheon.
That's a pretty wide array of
Artemisian
things.
Yes, very vibe. Artemisian.
Like swords, hunting, and then dancing. Like,
yeah, so I've noticed that a lot of Elven Pantheons tend to have bigger portfolios to each, like, god.
It isn't like they do one or two things.
Right, yeah. They take up, like, six things, and they're like, nope, this is fine. I got this.
Yeah, and I honestly, I haven't given as much of a look to see if other racial pantheons are like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for elves, and particularly the drow, that is definitely the case.
I wonder if it's just because elves like to, like, they just take up more things at a single time. Like, that's just kind of how they work. Like,
maybe they see more things as being linked.
Yeah, more that's the word I was trying to think of. The phrasing was like everything is kind of linked together, so
it's all connected.
Like, well, the giant tree.
Yeah,
I don't remember what the tree was called.
Yggdrasil.
There you go.
So I'm going to avoid repeating too much of some of her early stuff. Because
that's fine. Well, let's just repeat the entire third episode.
I really don't want this to be Lolth's story rehash.
Lolth part two.
I mean, this is...
Redone.
About Illustrée.
Right. Illustrée.
Yeah, I'm going to pronounce it Illustrée. But
yeah, I know.
I previously mentioned that she was the only good drow goddess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She's the loner in that scenario.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because they're all,
I mean, that in the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
Evil.
But, yeah, mm-hmm. Drow are more...
She's the...
Dicks.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I completely lost what I was going to say.
There you go.
I was overpowered by that.
But just a quick refresher.
Lewin was overpowered by the dicks.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh my God.
You can feel free to cut any of this out.
Nope.
Or leave as much in as you want.
Oh, I'm leaving quite a bit in.
If I can remember, this is the clip I'm going to use.
Okay.
For the, like, little snippet.
Lewin is overpowered. Fucking God. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I keep
interrupting. The only good drow goddess.
Yeah. So as a quick refresher, or for anyone who doesn't want to go back and listen to the Lolth episode.
Understand.
Yeah. When Lolth turned against Corellon, she used her son Veyron's help, and she cursed Ilestrae's bow to fire at Corellon when she came to his defense.
Bitch move.
Very bitch move.
Mm-hmm.
Lolth and Veyron plotted to instigate Ilestrae in the treachery as well, mainly because Veyron wanted revenge against the perceived favored twin.
Ooh.
Corellon wasn't
really... A little Tiamat Bahamut kind of moment there.
A little bit, yeah. Corellon wasn't falling for it, though, honestly, which pissed Veyron off even more. Instead of interpreting it as a father simply knowing his children and their tendencies, he believed it to be further proof of his father's preference for Ilestrae.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it triple backfired.
Pretty much.
Just okay.
So, I mean, he is the drow god of arrogance. So this next part is decidedly heartbreaking.
No.
As described in Evermeet, Isle of the Elves, a book that I mentioned in the Wolf episode. Ilestrae saw her mother and her brother being judged and sentenced to banishment, and their hatred twisting them up, and in her mother's case, literally twisting her form into that of the spider form that she has.
Mm-hmm.
After she was assured by her father that he knew that she was innocent, she volunteered to exile herself with her brother. I would say in equal parts because she loved her brother, but also she foresaw something coming. More on that later. But in her imposed exile... Because she almost accidentally killed her father with one, she swore off ranged weaponry completely and only uses swords now.
Hmm.
Much like my Pathfinder fighter who never knew a ranged weapon.
Didn't you take part in the archery contest?
I did.
And you didn't win.
No.
The monk won.
Which was weird. Oh, no. No.
No, Shen won, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Shen won.
Oh, yeah,
that was right.
Vendriel won
the arm wrestling contest.
Our ranger won the arm wrestling contest.
And our monk won the archery.
It's all sorts of weird shenanigans. I'm not even sure.
It was a weird night.
So it was.
I guess that explains why she took up, like, the sword as part of her...
portfolio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say pantheon, and I was like, that's not correct.
Yeah. In fact, it's actually a part of her symbol, too.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So she didn't want to use ranged weapons. Went to melee, picked up the sword, and was like, this will work.
Pretty much.
Hmm.
So
also a little sad.
Very, yeah. So Ilestrae is depicted as being fucking gorgeous. She's described as looking like her mother, which you will recall, it had several pages dedicated to describing her beauty.
Yeah, she's very beautiful. It's just also her bottom half was a spider, so.
Yeah.
Only sometimes.
Most
of the time, but.
So she's... Ilestrae is also described as being 9 fucking feet tall.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Hello.
What?
Very tall.
Hello.
Very tall, thin, graceful arms, legs.
Lewin's paying attention.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't paying attention at all before. Just kidding,
and
I was.
And now. Okay, so she's 9 feet tall?
Yeah, much to the irritation of Lolth, who was apparently short. A pretty short elven deity.
How tall is her brother? Is he the same kind of,
I wonder? It didn't mention, but I assume so. I assume they're both pretty tall. Just like... graceful ass bitches.
That is funny, my though, God. When you see, like, kids who are, like, not only, like, taller than their parents, because, like, I'm taller than my mom, but, like...
considerably taller.
Yeah, like, tower over their parents. It's funny. Their mom, specifically.
That is bizarre.
That's great.
So, she had obsidian skin, like, even before, like, the drow or drow, because she was still a dark elf deity.
Yeah.
Right.
They both...
She's got that, like, flawless, like... obsidian skin.
Complexion. Just
perfect.
And perfectly reflects all the light off of it.
Ugh. Yeah.
I would be a little frightened to see
her. She has no acne.
She's Yes.
I mean, if like I'm walking and suddenly this 9 foot tall, obsidian skinned, beautiful
drow woman.
Ankle length silver hair, eyes that glow like blue moonstones.
Nope. I would just, I wouldn't know what to do.
I would immediately die on the spot.
Here, this will help. She's usually depicted as naked.
Oh, I would immediately die on the spot.
In almost every single depiction of her. Even her current symbol is her dancing naked under a full moon with a bastard sword.
So, fuck clothes.
Fuck clothes. Freedom, no clothing!
Hashtag free the nipple. I think that's really funny, though, because, like, that almost is at odds with the vision I had in my head of her being, like, the more favored kind of... You know what I mean? Like, you think, like, the good daughter, but she also runs around naked.
Hey, you're applying your own conservative, like...
It's a very funny word to use.
Yeah, I know. Okay, your own conservatively dressed...
Human. I'm imposing my human ideals. Perspective on this ancient, godly, elven culture.
Yes. I'm guessing they don't give a shit about clothes, like...
Or nudity.
Like, if you want to be nude, run around and be nude.
They just don't care. I'm guessing it never actually specifies why she's always depicted that way.
She just kind of is.
I mean, other than the fact that elves are more in tune with nature and stuff.
They're so exactly.
Just kind of like the natural thing there, which, I mean, all right.
Speaking of which, can you guess her alignment just from what you know about her?
Chaotic good.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on.
We got Lewin's guess.
I'm going to say...
See, I just spat it out. Travis is sitting there and think about it.
Is it lawful?
Oh, man, she's an elf, my dude. She's chaotic good.
Hell yeah!
I mean, I had a
instinct.
Feeling, but I had
killer
to...
Killer instinct.
I had to go with something opposite of her, though.
Ah.
Well, and...
Opposite would have been lawful evil.
Shit. Whatever.
As we all know...
I said, is she lawful?
You can just kind of slap the lawful label on anything and just say it works, as we all know.
So, her favorite animals are silver moths and silver-striped tabby cats. Her favorite monsters are... Light Archons, Lothari, Pixies, Silver Dragons, and Osimar, which is bizarre to me. I couldn't find any description of why they were referred to as favored monsters.
Osimars?
Yeah.
I want to say because they were originally put into the Monster Manual before they were playable races.
Fair enough.
Like, I think that's originally what they started out as, is they were just, like... angelic creatures.
And I want to say that description came from 3rd or 3.5. So, I mean, it was a while ago.
Still fairly, I say early on, kind of midway through. But
I mean, the way that they would have been seen in 3.5 is like very different than they're seen in 5th edition.
Right.
Anyway, her favorite minerals are mithril, moonstone, and silver. And can you guess her favorite color?
Pink.
Is it silver?
It's silver.
Oh, dang. I thought we were going to hold out until the very end, and then she was just going to be like...
I almost said black because, like, obsidian
random.
Skin, but then I was like, wait, the silver lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just... I'm sorry, silver-haired.
Yeah.
Mine was a joke.
Yeah.
In case you...
No. I thought you were dead serious. Part of what she foresaw was the coming war of the Telkasir against one another.
Oh, yeah.
As mentioned in both the Wolf's episode and Lewin's Telkasir episode.
Yeah. Little elves gonna go fuck shit up.
Yeah. Remember,
fighting.
Telkasir are basically the mortal elves.
Yeah.
And elves that left the Feywilds.
Yeah, and then went and hung out on Faerun for a long time.
Yeah.
And they're all fighting each other.
Yeah, and this is mainly because of Veyron and Lolth's influences both being toxic and destructive.
Yeah.
I will take this moment to say, Ed Greenwood himself specifically said that a society run on Lolth's influence is not, like, it cannot continue to exist. At this point, it has continued by Lolth's willpower alone.
Like, eventually it's going to self-destruct.
Yeah, if it continues on this path. So, Ailishri wanted to prevent this war. So she appeared to elven diplomats to warn them. They were actually on their way to Illithir, which was the dark elven
nation.
And, like, at the time, they weren't fighting. These diplomats were just going to go talk about things. Like, it was pretty, like, okay at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them had just been exiled, so, like, they hadn't had time to, like, turn everyone against each other, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But these diplomats were so inspired, they offered to follow her, but she declined, only wanting them to be wary of the future. At some point, though, she changed her mind and decided she needed worshippers.
Hey, you know what?
Worshippers equals power?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, more people who worship her, more people who are going to be diametrically opposed to worship of Varon and Loth.
That's true.
So, I mean, well, she had reasons.
That's what she said, though. But in reality, she also kind of liked it, probably.
So, as you might recall, Varon was a major god for the Dark Elves, although he didn't really care that some worshipped Ilestrae. I mean, he had a pretty tight hold on them, and they liked his doctrine of take what you want. So, mm-hmm. he didn't really care that his sister had some followers. It was like, whatever.
See, it's very interesting, because I feel like he would care a lot. Because he had such a personal beef with his sister.
I think it was more at this point, he was more just like, you know what? I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to run the Dark Elves how I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And at least we're not under the rule of our mother. And at least, you know, I have made you miserable too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess after being exiled at that point, he probably was just like, all right, there's no sense in trying to
be a bitch about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be the favorite twin because now we're all exiled.
Yeah, because exactly.
So she actually eventually got a pretty good gathering of faithful among dark and green elf refugees from Aravandar. Aravandar. And they created their own nation, Maeratar. So, yeah. The Isle of Evermeet was created shortly thereafter, which didn't really affect Ilestrae and her followers much, mostly because she was a boots-on-the-ground, trying to bring the Dark Elves back from evil influences kind of goddess.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she didn't really want to deal with the Isle of Evermeet, trying to get away. Mm-hmm. She wasn't going to go hang out in the Isle of Evermeet and stay away from all the evil. She was throwing herself into the evil to try and bring people back.
Mm-hmm. It's worth noting, though, she wasn't actually wearing boots.
No, she was wearing nothing.
She was still naked. That was
doing this so naked.
Metaphorical.
So she wasn't involved, but it did kill many of Varon's worshippers, and Loth's influence took hold.
Damn.
Congrats.
Side note, the first sundering, which was what happened when they created the Isle of Evermeet, is thought to be part of the reason why the weave is uneven in places throughout Toril.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's completely pure on Evermeet.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Congrats.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You just fucked up the whole
everything.
Like, the whole everything to do with magic. Congratulations.
Right. That's cool. Like, good job, guys.
No consequences could come from that whatsoever.
So, basically, Ilestrae's followers were flourishing, and then the Crown Wars happened. Loth's influence spread like wildfire among the Dark Elves, and Varon was forced to once again side with his mother for power. Ilestrae was helpless, just trying to keep her followers alive and stave off the evil influences of her brother and her mom. Her followers' nation of Maeratar was annexed by the Sun Elven nation of Aravandar, and around 11,800 DR, and a little over 1,000 years later, it was destroyed in what had been called the Dark Disaster.
The hell?
Dang.
Now, no, that's like pretty much just one elven lifetime, a little over.
Oh shit! Wow, yeah, that's messed up to think about.
Jesus Christ, though.
It was thought that the High Mages of Aravandar were responsible for the destruction. I don't know why they had annexed it. But I'm guessing.
Yeah, I remember that because they eventually, if I remember correctly, this is me trying to remember some stuff I read from the first elf episode I did. They kind of just eventually like found someone to blame. Like they felt like they needed to blame somebody.
Yeah, so they go off of Ilestrae's followers naturally.
Yeah,
that was the smart thing to do.
Yeah, so
instead of, you know, Loth or
anybody else.
Literally anybody else.
So it cost a 40-year truce. Again, not that long in the grand scheme of things when you compare elven lifetimes.
No, that's like, what, from born to like teenager for an elf? If that.
Yeah.
All the elves were just horrified because Maeratar was engulfed in magical killing storms that reduced the whole forest and cities to ash.
Jesus.
Now, Loth Nation, corrupted by her and the Baelor Windeni, which I mentioned in the Loth episode, were in control of Illithir, and they continued their attacks on the other Elven nations. The Seldarine and the Elven court had enough of it and gathered together to exile all the Dark Elves and curse them to the Underdark.
Yay.
Thus, the Drow.
And so the Drow were born.
Pretty much.
Created, one way or the other.
So this included Eilis Trey's followers. Like, come on, Corellon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's your daughter's followers. She's trying to turn them good. What the hell? Couldn't have, like, kept them out of it?
Right, nope. And then suddenly, even though she's trying to keep them good, it's just like, nope.
And now they're being chased underground, too, just like everyone else, because they can't stand the sunlight, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Eilis Trey's church collapsed in on itself due to the destruction of Maiaritar and Loth's active persecution of Eilis Trey's followers, and she was not able to reform it for millennia.
I'm guessing she was at some point, though.
Well, I will be happy to tell you about that after we take a break.
Ah.
Fine.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to our Eilis Trey episode. I hope I am entrancing you with the tales of the Dark Dancer.
Yeah, I think I found my new religion.
Yeah, I think you pulled her in the minute you mentioned dancing naked. It's just...
Well, and also darkly beautiful and daughter of a crazy...
And 9 foot spider. Tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got
that one really did me in.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of got me with that one too, so hey.
I'm 5'2", 5'3". I don't even know.
So?
Okay.
So you can follow us in our new Eilis Trey worship platform on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr at Dungeonpedia. I promise we won't post all about Eilis Trey. You can also, probably, maybe. You can also email us with suggestions, comments, whatever, at dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com.
Also, if you would like to, go ahead and subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to us to get notifications. You can also take the RSS feed, plug it in there. If there is no...
Dungeonpedia.
If there's no Dungeonpedia on whatever platform you listen to, let's face it, there's a lot. We don't know them all. You can also rate us, review us, you know, on any of the platforms that you listen to. That would also be great for getting us out there.
Any of the platforms, but the ones that
that you can. Right. Yeah.
Just the ones that you can. I guess if you're sitting there struggling for... Yeah, whatever. I'm going to go on a rant. Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you to Alexander Nakarada for our theme song, Blacksmith.
So, I guess with that, let's go back to the dancing 9 foot tall, dark,
beautiful,
naked
lady. Woman, naked.
Yeah, okay.
All right, the grand return of the Church of Eilis Trey. I'm assuming that it might not actually be that grand.
Well, it's not a great time to be Eilis Trey right now.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
I mean, to be fair, it sounds like it hasn't really been a great time to be Eilis Trey at all so far.
In a pretty,
long time, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, her childhood might have been great, but...
Not in the past several millennia.
Yeah,
she's had a rough time, so please tell me it gets better.
Well, the exact events she saw come to pass, she foresaw came to pass.
Yeah.
And... The Dark Elves were now cursed into drow. There's a reason she's such a melancholy goddess. She has been called the melancholy goddess.
Aww.
And even though her songs are beautiful, she brings tears to listeners' eyes for many reasons.
Aww. You know, the more and more we talk about this, the more and more I'm like, I kind of like the silver-haired lady.
Yeah. Like, that's a goddess I could worship. Mm-hmm.
She's, of course, happiest when she witnesses art or love or kindness, which is the kind of hope that she keeps... That keeps her going, trying to restore all these things to the drow and redeem them.
Yeah.
Because she's been kicked down so many times.
Mm-hmm.
She actively calls to drow through song. She can't guarantee their safety or acceptance when they choose to follow her, but she protects them fiercely nonetheless. She calls to them, trying to free them from her mother's web. Drow actually tells stories of Eilis Trey kidnapping Loth's faithful to the surface to their children, and warn hunters on surface raids to retreat if they see the moon or hear singing.
Oh.
Because, I mean, these are, like, drow mothers, like, trying to teach
their kids into behaving.
Basically, yeah. And also, a little bit to scare their kids into not listening to Eilis Trey.
Yeah, I was like, it sounds like they're just like, no, don't listen to her. She's stupid.
Pretty much, yeah.
She's a bad person. No, she's not.
Turns out, your god is the bad person. So Alistair walked a really lonely, solitary path for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel so sorry for her. So bad for her.
Despite being acquitted by her father and the other Seldarine, Alistair's attempts to redeem the drow were pretty much hers alone. She had somewhat of a strained relationship with the other Seldarine, although she was actually fairly, it was like close, but not quite with Angerad, who you will recall is her father's, this is basically her stepmom.
Her triple stepmom.
Yes, and Sanine Moonbow, which was one of the aspects. So
awkward.
She's all alone, that is, until she came upon her nephew, which I did not know existed until I started research, even though I did Lolth's research. I somehow missed it.
Okay. So Varon had a kid?
Yes, the god Selvatarm.
I'm sorry, what?
Selvatarm.
Selvatarm?
Selvatarm.
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 Yeah. Okay, Selvatarm.
So he was the son of Varon and Zandalar the Dancer, who was a wild elf deity of romance and lust.
Oh.
So Zandalar attempted to seduce Varon for information about Lolth and stuff, and Varon retaliated by trapping her.
Oh.
Intending to absorb her godly essence for his own.
Because he...
This is just all sounding so wrong in my head right now.
It is very wrong.
Oh.
She ended up being freed by and merging her essence with the human goddess Bast, and she...
Oh!
Yeah. She gave birth to Selvatarm in the process. I don't know how gods work. I don't know how gods
okay.
work.
Okay. I'm still not liking some of those, like, implications.
This is very, like, Zeus, goddess forming out of his head kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Artemis bringing forth
yeah.
fully formed in armor from his head.
Or just, like, this, like, weird, like, split.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the child just kind of, like, steps out of her form. It's just like,
hey.
Like, oh, shit, I had a kid.
And also, peace out, I'm a new goddess now.
Sweet.
So, Selvatarm didn't want anything to do with either of his parents.
I don't know why.
He was good nor evil and just had no interest in either of them.
So he was, like, the true neutral?
Pretty much.
Hmm.
He just traveled just as alone as Alistair.
Damn.
Looking Aww. For his own path. When they met, she befriended him and they grew closer. He began to admire her. And she kind of took on, like, this motherly role for him.
Did they know their, like, their yeah. connection? Okay.
Yeah.
Not where I thought that was going at
oh,
first.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, we're not no. doing this Game of Thrones bullshit.
I was like,
Well, I was thinking it was going to be almost more of a Star Wars moment. Because maybe they didn't know.
Oh,
and then they
no.
found out and they were like, oh, shit.
No.
What's Star Wars?
What?
I said, what's Star Wars?
Shut up.
So, you know, I wanted to have a funny retort to that, but my brain stopped working.
Jesus.
No, I know what Star Wars is. Anyway, so they...
He began to admire her.
Right, so they developed this, like, weird...
Pseudo-parental
thing mm-hmm. going.
Yeah. He learned to appreciate her kindness and the good she spread, and they became, like, really, really close, like,
mm-hmm.
friends and... Family.
Oh, no.
Pseudo-family. What happened?
Well, they are family.
This is going to end badly. It has
to. Well, pseudo-parental, I guess. Uh-oh.
I don't like this.
Alistair yeah. had gained some help in her task of redemption, and he exemplified drow redemption. Unfortunately, Lolth tricked him into slaying a demon lord she didn't like, named Zanasu.
Uh-oh.
She was spiteful that Alistair might gain any help in her cause. And so Lolth convinced Selvatarm that his victory over the demon would impress his aunt.
Oh.
Because, like, it's a demon. It's evil.
Yeah.
Right. So why did it not, I guess, is my question.
He was overwhelmed by Zanasu's demonic evil and
fuck.
Fell completely to the darkness.
No.
He became Lolth's champion, her tool of pure rage and fury.
Also worth noting, her grandson.
Yes. Also her grandson. Actually, her followers call him the son of Lolth, which is hilarious because he's her grandson. They just like to just like ignore Varon sometimes.
You know,
just
honestly,
like, Varon's not a thing. It's fine.
You know, poor Varon.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Man, that's really sad.
Thing
is
he doesn't even like Lolth. At this point, like, he's transformed by rage and evil, so he like lashes out at good, but he fucking hates his grandmother too. Like,
on
he doesn't.
Level.
What?
On, like, a personal level.
Yes. Like, he doesn't want to serve her, but he's bound to her now. And also, like, confused and everything. And literally physically bound by her webs. She keeps his destructive anger for her own needs as the drow god of warriors and slaughter.
That's actually so fucking sad.
It is.
I don't like this. These are all supposed... All of our episodes are supposed to have happy endings. What the hell?
Hey, I'm not done.
I mean, unless you're going to tell me...
All right.
Unless you're going to tell me that this guy gets, like, redeemed, and it's all Gucci, and he can go hang out with his aunt again.
I feel like it's going to get worse. I feel like he's going to, like, end up fighting Isla Stray, and she ends up having to kill him. I feel like that's what's about to happen.
Either way, Isla Stray was heartbroken.
Yeah.
Her nephew just got turned
to the dark side.
To the dark side.
Oh, shit.
There we go.
That's what Star Wars is, Travis.
Not a sponsor.
You just talk about the dark side a lot. Yeah, no, we're not sponsored by
Sponsored by Star Wars.
Not what you would say any of, like, the people who legally hold Star Wars. We're not sponsored by Star Wars.
So, anyway.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm sorry. That just sounded really funny.
That was really funny. So, Isla Stray actually had a few chosen followers, just like Mistra did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, one of which was a young drow girl named Keelway Velidorn.
Fucking elf names. Velidorn.
Keelway, actually, is her first name.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Keelway.
I can pronounce Velidorn better.
By the time her mother was burying her seventh child, Keelway, the woman was possessed by Mistra.
Yeah, happens.
And was almost killed by the goddess's overwhelming power.
As it happens.
Kilway's father killed her, the mom, believing his wife to be possessed by an evil spirit. This not only endangered the unborn child's life, but also her soul, because at this point, the soul was kind of bound to Mistress' power, and it would have been completely destroyed by Mistress' power. So, looking for another pregnant woman strong enough to bear the child that was to become her chosen, Mistra found a drow follower of Isla Stray named
It's okay, we can cut all of this out.
Illyris Tara Velidorn. She was leading a group of other Isla Stray followers to find a new home on the surface, conveniently near the spot where Kilway's father killed her mother. Tara's unborn daughter had died during the journey. Like, she was still carrying her.
Oh, damn.
That sucks.
Yeah, and eventually it would have killed her, too. Sepsis sucks, my dudes.
Yeah, sepsis is bad.
So, Isla Stray was already trying to find a way to save this, like, leader of this, of, like, these people.
Yeah, this community.
This community of Isla Stray worshippers. And Mistra offered to replace the dead baby's soul with the soul of the seventh sister, Keelway, to save both.
Oh, yeah, seven sisters. Didn't really mention them. They're there.
Okay, so that seems like a win-win?
Yeah, Isla Stray accepted Mistra's offer, and Keelway was born. And also, a friendship was created between Isla Stray and Mistra.
Nice!
So, as a child, Isla Stray appeared to Keelway, asking her and her friends to save nearby drow. They're kids. I'm not... Why? That's all I'm going to say. So she gifted the children singing swords to protect them from fear and magic, and later sent them to the pit of Gonadour, god of abominations.
It, 2017.
Okay, singing swords.
With it.
Cool.
So they went to the pit of Gonadour and fought him until he fled, weakened. Because Isla Stray and Mistra both used Keelway's body as a conduit for their power.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Mistra loves to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So they both gifted her with their powers and wisdom, and she became both of their chosen.
Holy shit, that's got to be a powerful kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very...
To be the chosen of two different gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goddesses.
Very, very powerful. Like,
yeah.
Dang, that's not... And also, like, a human, like, quote human, and an elven goddess, too, is pretty cool.
Yeah. And and technically a human soul in an elven drow body too.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Just a lot going on. You know what? Honestly, though, I feel kind of bad for this kid because I just feel like she's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Just like mentally, I feel like she's got a lot going on.
She wasn't too upset about it. Later on as an adult, she went back to the pit to patrol the area and created a temple to Aelstrae nearby, which locals called these patrols the Promenade because they were making fun of her. She took that name and affectionately named the temple the Promenade of the Dark Maiden.
Nice. I like it.
So during the time of troubles in 1358 DR, Aelstrae was also walking Toril as her mortal avatar.
Mm-hmm.
She actually appeared to Drow fleeing the destructive infighting of a Lothless Underdark. See, Loth had pretty much abandoned her followers in their misery during this time, albeit temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
So she appeared to them as they, like, got up to the surface from the Underdark. She was dancing with an older Drow woman that was her follower. And as they danced together, the Drow woman got younger and younger and laughed and then disappeared.
Hmm.
So basically, it's called the Last Dance. And it's what happens when one of Aelstrae's followers actually lives into old age and gets to have one last dance with her goddess before moving on to the afterlife to join her sisters.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very beautiful.
It is.
Damn.
So these Drow, who were worshippers of Loth, just came upon this and saw Aelstrae there, rescued them from their flight, and led them to the Promenade, where they became her worshippers. I'm guessing this pissed Loth off.
A whole lot.
I mean, yeah. She's already kind of a bitch, so...
After the time of troubles, they later vied for the worship of a powerful surface drow named Lyriel Benray. Lyriel. To make her their chosen. She ended up converting from being a priestess of Loth to becoming a priestess of Aelstrae.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, she accidentally led Loth to the Promenade, which inadvertently killed Kilway's daughter.
Uh-oh.
Fearing that Aelstrae would scorn her and desiring to learn arcane magic, she converted to Mystra. But Aelstrae still called to her, not to convert her back, but to assure Lyriel that she still loved her and that she knew that it was an accident. Basically, kind of that same thing of forgiveness that her father did.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay, well, at least she's still carrying that.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Loth.
Later, Loth went into a hibernation, a year called the Silence of Loth, to increase her powers and influence as a deity. Deity, wow.
I pronounce it deity.
I mean, that's not incorrect.
Yeah. It felt weird in my mouth because I always pronounce it deity, and I said deity.
the deity.
Even though she was protected by Selvacharm, her biggest danger became her followers who looked to other deities, including Aelstrae.
That's funny, though, that in, like, a year?
Yeah.
Especially, like, for elves, because a year is, like, nothing. So that's, like, you get into, like, a bad funk for, like, a week, and you're like, I'm going to go join a new religion. Wait.
Okay, but also, Loth is a very active goddess that is very involved in her followers' lives.
That's true.
Except for the year of hibernation.
Yeah.
The silence of the Loth.
Or when she was during the time of troubles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically they're like, she's gone again. Oh no. We have to convert.
We have to, yeah, because if you're suddenly like bereft of that really intense presence like Loth had,
then you'll be looking for anyone who can offer you anything.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to go into this hibernation, you should, like, tell your followers beforehand.
Nah, they don't need to know.
Nah.
But, okay, so...
They'll be fine.
They freaked the hell out and converted.
So, Aelstrae attempted to use priestess converts to kill Loth before she awakened, but one betrayed her and awakened Loth.
Naturally.
I mean, it wasn't, like, a very big, like, plan. It was just like, hey, this might work. Nah. After this, Loth convinced Aelstrae to basically bet the entire fate of the Drow on a game called Sava. Basically, it's fantasy chess.
Nice.
Aelstrae accepted, guessing because she was desperate.
That's such a bad idea.
I mean, she is pretty chaotic. Maybe she just did have one of those moments where she just got a wild hair up her ass to be like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. But, I'm really good at chess.
But Loth is... Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it was a whole thing. Got called The War of the Spider Queen, which is a highly acclaimed set of novels that if anyone has the time to read, I would recommend. I perused through because I didn't have time to read a set of novels.
Yeah.
A set of novels.
Oh, yeah, that's right, a set.
So the game was a divine version. So the actions in the game reflected in the real world.
Oh, it's like Harry Potter chess, except even bigger.
Yeah, like as in one of the results was that Veyron snuck into Illustre's realm to assassinate her.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's not Harry Potter chess at all.
So Illustre won the battle, actually, and absorbed his essence and took over his portfolios, gaining the title of the Masked Lady.
Nice.
So basically what Veyron probably had nightmares about as a youth.
Probably. Illustre and Veyron's followers achieved an uneasy truce and worked together against Loth and the other Dark Sildarine. Yay, victory for Illustre.
Except for, I bet you Loth cheats somewhere to win.
So another result was that Selvatarm was killed by Illustre's forces after a failed ambush.
Oh, uh-oh.
Illustre was very upset.
Yeah, but she was like, essentially responsible,
yeah,
in a manner of speaking.
Also, Kiara and Saley, that drow lich.
Oh, boy.
I combined those words. That drow lich goddess of vengeance.
We're talking about Mass Effect now.
So that drow lich goddess of vengeance tried to summon an undead army from the negative energy plane.
As you do.
So Illustre helped a follower with a high magic ritual that erased Kiara and Saley's name from every person's mind on Toril, including Kiara and Saley herself.
Hmm.
As a result, she disappeared from Toril.
The fuck?
She's a lich, man.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's fair.
After that, because this is still in the chess game, mind you, the Sava game, through Illustre's actions, Kilway began to help the previous follower that had done that high magic ritual with another high magic spell that was going to sever the link between basically the demon that corrupted the drow and the drow who didn't worship Loth. Remember that Baelor, Wind, and I that helps Loth? Yeah. Sever that connection, basically. So it would be easier for them to turn away from the Underdark and go back into the surface.
Okay.
So Kilway also took possession of a possessed blade that had Wind and Eye's spirit in it.
There's always a sword with somebody's soul in it.
Yeah.
There's always.
Hatched a plan to kill the demon by taking his essence into her and destroying it with Mistress Silverfire in the place where he had been summoned for the first time. It was a whole thing.
Because that is always a good idea.
My God, there's so much going on there.
Yeah, if successful, she would have freed the drow from him, but
I'm guessing she wasn't.
In the time it took to prepare it, his presence began to affect her.
Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm.
In 1379 DR, the year of the Lost Keep, the high magic spell that Kilway and Carland, by the way, is her name, had prepared to cast eventually caught Illustre's eye, and she sought to intervene because although she appreciated the idea of all of the drow being freed of that curse that made them drow, basically.
Right.
She wants the drow to find their own path. She does not want the drow to be forced into it. She's very anti, like, she's very free will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the drow are going to be evil, so be it. But she believes that they can still come back. So okay. She intervened and she told them that this was not her will, that kind of thing. I guess they did something to change her mind because she finally relented and decided that she would allow some of them to be converted back into the Dark Elves. However, Kilway was supposed to be the main caster, but she realized that she couldn't have taken part because Wind and Eye's influence was too great. Thank God she realized that.
Yeah, otherwise that could have been really bad.
Ooh, that would have been so bad.
So, Kilway and one of her sisters, named Laryl Silverhand, traveled to the place where they were going to do this ritual, which was the ancient court of Illithir, where Wind and I had first been summoned.
Mm-hmm.
So, they start doing this, but fearing that Kilway was going to lose her life in the ritual, even though she wasn't the main caster, Laryl froze her in time and went to seek help.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
So Illustre inhabited Kiyoway's body to save her life, basically, in this time. And Wind and I tricked another, like, drow nearby into killing Keelway with Isla Stray still inside.
Uh-oh.
So it worked, but Isla Stray's dead now. And also, it only kind of worked because Isla Stray only let a couple of hundred people get back. Fel was originally meant to transform thousands of drow back into dark elves, but it ended up transforming only about 100, but it worked. So, Krillin's not very happy because his daughter's dead now, but he's sad. So he, and like, the this worked. So he allowed the redeemed
dark elves
to come into Arvindor. So, like, as a way of, like, making up for the fact that his daughter died.
I'm surprised at this point he even still cares.
Really? He loves his daughter.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like that much time. I don't know. I assumed that something behind the scenes would have changed.
No, I mean, he still loved his daughter. I assume that my image of them is actually kind of like they don't hang out much, but they go to brunch every couple millennia.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Every couple millennia, they hang out, eat.
Talk about things.
And then just go about their ways.
Have a awkward family
family
time with her new triple stepmom, Angerad.
The triple stepmom.
So we talked about the second sundering and the spell plague, right? Mm-hmm. So after the spell plague and the second sundering, Isla Stray came back to life.
Yay!
Because a lot of dead gods did. Mm-hmm. So the goddess was able to take the Dark Maiden once again because her brother was also back. They were no longer the same entity. But also, because of the time they spent together with Veyron's essence absorbed into them, they had reached an understanding of each other.
Oh, that's nice.
So Isla Stray still opposes evil and everything, but she also, like, has a deeper understanding of, like, the other aspects of her brother, the non-evil aspects. Mm-hmm. Specifically, like, arrogance isn't necessarily evil. Thievery isn't necessarily evil if you do it the right ways and that kind of thing. That basically, even though she opposes evil, she loves her brother and she has a new interest in keeping that alliance together. And Veyron actually genuinely changed some of his, not his portfolio per se, but the way he acted. He no longer wanted any of his drow to act evil on the surface. Evil would only serve them in the Underdark where evil was basically rampant. Mm-hmm. And they needed to be able to compete with Loth's followers. They were actually allies, and even though some of their, like, worshippers still warred, they themselves were closer and allies once again. Also, they were one of the only gods and goddesses that came back and actively appeared to their followers to announce their return.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah.
Everybody else was just like,
eh.
They'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, they'll, it's whatever. No big deal.
So, for example, Isla Stray appeared to the citizens of Waterdeep, dancing in the moonlight near the walls of the city.
Nice.
Also, that temple is right behind Waterdeep, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah,
that's
near
fine.
Skullport.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. So this led to many moon dancers, which is what some of her followers are called, in the City of Splendors.
Oh, that's nice.
So this other thing which I want to mention is I didn't find a lot of information about this, but it was mentioned that Isla Stray was one of the deities with whom the Return Mistral shared the weave with after the Second Sundering.
Ooh.
So she's one of few goddesses trusted enough by Mistra to help her with the weave now.
Nice.
Also, the Dark Dancer is still a drow goddess. She is not a dark elf goddess, and despite the ritual. She did not change herself because she still wanted to be drow.
So she allowed some of them to
change into dark elves,
but herself did not actually.
I assume if she ever does that, it'll be after she changed, after everyone.
Mm-hmm.
After everyone is saved or killed if need be.
Yeah, then she'll convert back and be like, okay, well,
I can be a dark elf now.
Yeah, but that's all I have.
Well, that was a wild ride.
Yeah.
I say wild. Downs. It was, like, mostly downs.
Yes.
For the good first half of all this. Like, her her life has been kind of sad.
It really has.
Yeah.
Like, I feel really bad for her. And also, like, and, like, Lewin made that joke about, like, feeling bad for Veyron. And I had to keep my mouth shut because I'm like, oh, yeah, you're about to feel real bad for Veyron.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, that was... She just went through a hell of a time.
She really did. And she still is going through a hell of a time because she's still, you know, trying to save the drow, which is an uphill battle.
Oh, yeah.
I feel she's like...
constantly trying to fight against Lolth. And...
Yeah, she's been doing that for so long. I feel like I would have just given up and been like, I'm going to go learn how to pop and lock or whatever instead of... I was like, what's a dance thing?
What's a dance thing? Pop and lock. Okay.
Hey, you know what? Breakdancing.
How is
dancing.
It that you went with that out of like everything else you
Well,
could.
I feel like if she was going to, like, she would have probably been trained in like, you know,
ballet.
Lyrical and like ballet and stuff like that. But like maybe.
Learn to square dance.
Maybe her, maybe oh her dad God. Didn't want her to dance to R&B. I don't know.
Square dance.
Hey, her dad's chill with her, like, dancing naked in the moonlight. I think he'll be chill with any kind of
that's
dance.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
But also cycle back to probably what's Elven ideals about nudity and things like that.
Where that's not actually...
It's not a big deal.
Like, a thing that...
That's the only way you do it if you're going to dance in the moonlight. You have to be naked.
Probably.
Hmm. I don't know. I've never tried.
I've never danced in the pale moonlight, so I don't know.
Dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm really tired. I forgot like half of that joke.
You're fine. Anyway.
Anyway. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Don't forget to do the whole follow thing on social media.
The whole follow thing.
Do the follow thing. You
the whole
do,
follow
you,
thing.
Did you get like older in your spirit? Because you sound old.
I might have. Go ahead and do that whole follow thing that you young kids do there.
On your tweeters and your... Your Instagrams.
Your books of faces. Wait, we don't have one of those.
We don't have a book of faces.
Just kidding. Not
but
that one.
The other two we do have.
But if you would also spread the word to your friends, we would also really appreciate it. And you don't need a dumb, like, that's going to be outdated in a few years, I'm sure, social media platform to do that.
Damn, called out.
Dang.
I'm just saying.
Destroyed. We do also have an email. I feel like most old people know how to use email.
True.
It is dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com. You can send us suggestions, comments, whatever.
Continue to make fun of me like they did for saying the follow thing. Because apparently
thing.
My spirit just got older.
Sure got old.
Listening to all of Illustrate stuff made me old.
It aged you.
It aged
it was
me.
So,
it was so...
To take in the depth and the length of her life just, like, ages you.
Yeah.
It's very sad and very long.
Like, the sadness and melancholy made me old. That's what happened. That's what I'm going with.
Should attach a warning to the front of this episode. That, like, this is
a sad episode.
It's sad.
This episode is going to age you.
Oh, man.
Anyway, thank you all again for listening. And we'll catch you here next week on Dungeonpedia.
Ever dance with a nude goddess in the pale moonlight?
I wish.